Today we are continuing a study that we had begun last Sabbath, and we were looking at the issue, the question, the theme of health by design. As we all know, there's a great debate raging concerning whether or not we came into this world, the universe came into existence by design or chance. And as Christians of the Judeo-Christian beliefs, we know that in Genesis 1, the foundation of the question to that answer is found. And so as Christians, we believe that this world came about by design, not by chance. Although there are skeptics and there are evolutionists and there are atheists who would say and who contend, and they are quote-unquote educated. I'm putting that word educated in quotation marks because I think there are some people who are quote educated, unquote educated, that not really having much common sense. But I could go on and expand on that, but I won't do that this morning. But there are these two basic beliefs concerning where everything came from, chance or design. Now, if we as Christians believe that the world, that mankind himself, and that our bodies were designed by the ultimate Creator, by the knowledgeable Creator, then something as fabulous and something as precious as these bodies ought to continue, ought to be supported by, ought to be treated kindly by a plan that's designed. And so if we are living life and we find that this life is not, our health is not doing just exactly what we want it to do, we need to look at whether or not we are expecting our health to just come about by chance, or if we can design our health, design a health plan that will help us to enjoy and endure health for many, many years. I'm afraid that many people just leave their health to chance, just leave the building of new cells of the body to chance. As Brother Bill read in our scripture reading this morning, John in his third letter, verse 2, says he wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health. Prosper and be in health. And so John here is focusing upon the unification of the body, the spirit, the mind, that we are all a composite of these various elements, the physical, the spiritual, the mental. And we don't want to leave any of these aspects of our lives, the physical, mental, or spiritual. We don't want to leave them to just chance, but we want to have a plan. We want to have a design for the spiritual side of life, for the intellectual, the mental side of life, and also for the physical side of life. So this morning we are going to be continuing a theme that we had started last Sabbath on health by design. And for those of you who weren't here, I'm going to do a very brief review of several of the points, major points, that we looked at last week. One of the things that we need to keep in mind is that There is so much pollution in the world today. There are so many diseases, so many germs, bacteria, unfriendly bacteria around us today, that we need to keep our immune system strong. Now, whether or not you realize it, and if we had a sword and shield here, we could hold these up as symbols. But your body has a shield, And that shield is called your immune system. Just as if you're fighting, as the ancients would fight in battle, they would have a shield to cover themselves. They would have a head guard to cover themselves. Well, your body, God designed your body with a shield. Something to cover you. To protect you from the various enemies that would attack your body. And so, one of the important, absolutely essential elements of a planned, of a designed health program for yourself is to keep your immune system strong. That is your greatest defense, your immune system. And your immune system depends largely upon what you put into your body to renew its vigor and to renew its strength. As I said last week, we put junk in, we get junk out. We put quality in, we get quality out. And so the immune system is the greatest friend your body and my body has. We also looked last week at one of the themes of what we put into our body, how this can help. Help strengthen our body, help in the design of our health. And that is that we go back to Genesis 1:29, which gives us the principle of the perfect diet when man created Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, and put them into the Garden of Eden. He said, I am going to give you the perfect diet. And so he gave the perfect diet, which is given there in your Bibles in Genesis 1:29. And this is a diet that is based on plants, based on vegetation. Plants, seeds, fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables. And then we know that sin entered the world. And after sin entered the world, God gave permission for flesh food to be eaten. And we're not going to get into all the details of that, because we don't have time this morning. That's not really the purpose. But the purpose is to ask ourselves, what is the very best diet? What was the perfect diet that was originally given to man before sin? And that can be found in Genesis 1:29. So last week we looked at some of the advantages of eating a diet that is plant-based. We looked at, for example, the Hunzas, who eat about 99% vegetables, and that is plant-based foods. About 1% foods from animal sources. And Dr. Gary Young, in his report after studying these people, said that they are active up to 100 years of age. They play and work up to 100. Many of them act normally or very active until 110 or 115. Some of them live to be 125 or 130. And the reason for this, Dr. Young proposes, is because of their diet. We also looked at the value of exercise, moderate exercise. We know that we've been designed to move our fingers, our legs, our arms, our neck, all of these joints are designed to move. And if we don't move them, we know what happens. They start, quote-unquote, rusting up on us. You have a gate on the hinges, and you never all the hinges on your gate, or if you just leave the gate shut and never open it, then after 5 years you come back and open your gate, you're going to have a lot of squeaks, and you're going to find that the hinges are not working properly. They're tight. And so it is with the hinges that we have, that God has given us. We need to use these hinges, keep them supple, and use them as they have been designed to use. But in our current society, we tend to be couch potatoes. We don't move as much as we ought to. And we have so many gadgets, so many modern inconveniences, I call them sometimes, that we don't really have to exercise very much. We have everything powered. Sometimes we have a powered toothbrush, and I guess one of these days we'll also have powered ear cleaners. I'm not sure just what's down the road, but we know that we're living in an age of power this and power that, and consequently we don't get the exercise, most of us, that we ought to get. All right, those are some of the thoughts that we developed last Sabbath. Now, coming to some of the other aspects of designing your health. Another aspect, a very important aspect of health design, is a regularity of schedule. We have biological clocks. Our bodies are timed with a biological clock. And when our bodies are timed with a biological clock, it means that these clocks let us know at certain times what we should do. If our biological clocks are kept in order and properly timed, they will tell us, oh, it's time for me to retire. I need to go to bed. Or if we find that our stomachs are starting to get a bit hungry, well, growl a bit, then we know, it's time, my biological clock is telling me that it's time for food. And so we need to realize that a part of health is based upon a regular schedule for eating, for retiring, for rising in the morning, and so on. And if we keep to a rather regular schedule, we will find that this will be supportive not only of our general health, but it will also be supportive of the immune system, which is the shield, the health shield that God has given us. Some people say, well, I go to bed, but I just can't sleep. And I want to give you several suggestions this morning that may help your sleep. Of course, sleep is when the body renews itself. The cells renew themselves. And we are constantly shedding and creating new cells. About every year, I have read, our bodies shed the old cells and create new cells. And the new cells that are replacing the old cells are not going to be as good and as strong as the old cells if the food that we put into our bodies from which those cells, the new cells, are nourished, that food is not adequate. If it's junk food, then those cells are going to be weakened. And over a period of time, this can indeed weaken our health. But it's during the time of sleep that our bodies renew themselves to a large extent. That's why when you get up in the morning, you sleep well, you're refreshed, you're ready to go, you're energetic, you're alive. If you don't sleep well, the opposite is true. Sleep is as important as food. Sleep is as important as air and oxygen. If you don't get air and oxygen, you can't live very long. If you don't get food, you can live a while, but eventually you're going to become sick or you're going to starve. And water is even more important than food. But sleep is as important as water and food and air. And we need to get approximately 7.5 to 8.5 hours sleep, depending upon the individual. Some individuals require more, some require less. You know your body better than anyone else, and you know how much sleep you require. So I would encourage you to sleep as much as your body tells you you need to sleep. I've already mentioned keeping regular hours, very important. Stay away from stimulants like caffeine. Caffeine is indeed a stimulant, and if you want to go to sleep, you don't want to drink anything with caffeine or eat anything with caffeine before you go to bed. You say, well, what has caffeine in it? Well, some of the items would be chocolate and caffeinated sodas, caffeinated teas, and, of course, coffee. We need to avoid bright light around the house before bed and during sleep. You'll sleep sounder if you're sleeping in a room that's totally dark or as nearly totally dark as you can get it. And also, before you go to bed, try to turn the lights down to get your body in the mood, into an atmosphere of relaxation. And finally, when you get up at night, although I hate, I often do this, and I hate not to do it, but avoid looking at the clock. Sometimes you look at the clock and you say, oh, it's you go to the bathroom, it's 2 or it's 3 in the morning, and you start thinking about tomorrow, what you're going to be doing tomorrow. But when you are sleeping at night and when you get up, avoid looking at the clock, because this looking at the clock can bring to mind what you have to do tomorrow, and you can get your mind working on that, thinking about that rather than relaxing and resting. So sleep, another part of a plan of a designed health program. Another aspect of a designed health program is that of work. Celia's story this morning, her personal experience this morning, attests to the value of work. I remember when I was in college, I did all sorts of things to earn my way through college, work my way through college. One time a fellow called me and said, I need a kitchen washed down. Can you have anyone there in the dormitory who can wash down kitchens? And I said, yeah, I can do that. So I went to the fellow's home, washed his kitchen down. Another fellow called the dormitory and he said, I need someone to trim some apple trees. Can you trim apple trees? Oh, yes, I can trim apple trees. So I went to his little orchard and I trimmed his apple trees. And I did all sorts of things to work my way through college. But work is of great value, and one of the ethics, one of the benefits, and one of the privileges of work is that it is rewarding. If you do a job and you do it well, how do you feel? Brother Archer, how do you feel you do a job and do it well? Feel good, don't you? It's rewarding. Good. But when you work and you accomplish something, it makes you feel good. And when you feel good, you know what? It's uplifting to your mind. It's uplifting to your spirit. It's uplifting to your bearing. Everybody around you can see that you're feeling good. You're feeling great. So, work is one of the most valuable experiences that we can have when we're designing a plan for our health. There are several questions that it's good for us to ask ourselves from time to time about our work. Why do I do what I do? If we're doing what we're working at and we don't really like it, we're not enjoying it, then we probably somewhere down the line ought to consider working at something that we enjoy. Because working for just money is not a healthful situation. It's not mentally healthy. It's not physically healthy. You don't do your best work. You don't contribute your best to your employer. And so ask yourself, why do I do what I do? Sometimes there are other questions that we can ask ourselves to help us do a little review of our lives. Why or how did you become attracted to the work that you do? What caused you to be attracted to this particular kind of work? And how much of your job is a part of your life? And is your job contributing to your values? And is your in your job, can you express and can you develop your personal values? Can you share with others your personal values? Does it give you opportunity to share with those people with whom you work? And so work is extremely important to a plan, a design for our health. Another thing that we need to take into account is, again, what are we putting into our bodies? And I want to say this morning, white sugar is devastating to your immune system. I'm going to tell you a little personal experience about sugar. Sugar is addictive, as well as killing the immune system. number of years ago, I was what I would call a sugarholic. I ate too much sugar. And one day I was supervising a student teacher down near Richmond. One of my responsibilities was to go into the high school and be a consultant and supervise student teachers who had to spend 10 weeks of teaching in a real high school setting under an experienced teacher. And I was sitting in this classroom and something happened to my eyes. My eyes were not focusing. And I felt very strange, as if perhaps a stroke were coming on. So I got through the class. I didn't pass out. I didn't have a stroke. But this scared me. It made me realize that there's something in my life, something in my health plan, something in my health system that wasn't working. And I looked at, did an inventory, and I said, it has to be that sugar. I'm eating too much sugar. I know that, so I've got to stop. So since that time, I have quit eating white sugar. And since that time, I have not had any more problem with that particular situation. There are many substitutes for white sugar. Honey, stevia, maple syrup, blue agave syrup, and others. And Celia and I can help you with that. If you're interested sometime, we can make suggestions. But I have found that white sugar just destroys my immune system. And research shows that it destroys everybody's immune system. So we need to be very careful that we eat little or no white sugar. As we're planning our design, our health design, I would also suggest that you consider giving up soft drinks. You say soft drinks? Well, now, what's wrong with soft drinks? Let me read from a report that I have in front of me. The report is called Health and Life. And this researcher says, let's start at the bottom line. There are no healthy choices when it comes to fizzy and soft drinks. You probably heard about the most recent study that found a link between soft drinks and increased heart disease risk. Recently, researchers with the Framingham Heart Study reported on a 4-year trial that followed the fizzy drink habit of more than 6,000 healthy subjects. Now, this was not just a small study. 6,000 subjects were involved, so it was a large study. Farmington Health Study. And it went on for 4 years, a 4-year trial that followed the fizzy drink habits of more than 6,000 healthy subjects. The average age was about 53 years. Results showed that subjects who drank one or more fizzy drinks each day were nearly, notice this, 45% more likely to develop the symptoms of metabolic syndrome, obesity, increased waist circumference, impaired fasting glucose, higher blood pressure, high triglycerides, higher LDL, that's the bad cholesterol. When three or more of these symptoms are diagnosed in one patient, risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes rose significantly. Researchers were most surprised to find that diet fizzy drinks had the same effect. Somebody says, well, I drink diet drinks. The researchers were most surprised, I'm quoting, to find that diet drinks had the same effect. Tobacco. It's another poison that we don't want to put into our bodies. A week ago, Celia and I were visiting Mrs. Haney in the Moore Center. She's a lady who's who is elderly, and she has to be, it's a nursing home type setting. We were visiting her, and as we walked by one of the doors, we saw a friend that I taught with at Longwood. And we said, "Well, what are you doing here?" "Well," she pointed into the room, "well, Michael's in here." Michael, her husband. And she said, "You remember some years ago you had a stop smoking clinic and I attended?" And I said, "Well, yes, I remember that." She said, "Well, I stopped. That must have been, what, 20 years ago, I guess, 25 years ago. That stop smoking clinic was at the hospital or at the old church. I'm not sure where it was. But anyway, she came. And she said, "Well, you know, I stopped, and I really thank you for helping me stop smoking." But then she pointed to her husband lying there in bed with an oxygen mask on him, and he could hardly breathe. And I said, "Well, what's going on here with Mike?" "Well, Mike has emphysema. He didn't stop when I stopped. I tried to get him to stop. He wouldn't stop." Cigarette smoking is one of the major attributors to morbidity in the United States. This is one of the reports. This is what one of the reports says. Each year in the United States, approximately 440,000 people die of cigarette smoking attributable illness, resulting in 5.6 million years of potential life lost. 5.6 million years of potential life lost. $75 billion in direct medical costs and $82 billion in lost productivity. This report summarizes the result of that analysis, which indicates that an estimated, notice this, 8.6 million people in the United States have serious illness attributable to smoking. 8.6 million illnesses attributable to smoking. Chronic bronchitis, emphysema account for 59% of all smoking attributable diseases. Poison. Nicotine is poison. It's addictive. It will destroy your lungs. It will weaken your heart. Coffee and tea are high in two elements that we need, most of us need to avoid. Of course, coffee and tea are high in caffeine, the stimulant caffeine, and they are also high in iron. Now, some of you ladies may be low in iron, but some of the men are high in iron. That's I had a physical checkup recently, and the doctor told me that my iron was high, so I need to give more blood. So next time I called the Red Cross and I said, "When are you coming to Farmville next time?" They said, "I think it's the 27th of this month." I said, "Well, I'll be there because I need to get rid of some of my iron." So if you have iron that's too high, the best way to get rid of it is to give blood. Another part of the Design Health Program is to be positive. You look at a glass and you see the glass either half empty or half full. If you see the glass half empty, you say, "Oh, you're taking on a negative interpretation of the reality. I only have a half glass." Whereas you should say, "Ah, I still have a half glass left." Look at life in a positive way. When life throws you a lemon, make lemonade of it, as somebody has said. Be positive. Think positively. Form a social, religious network of support. We all have our genetic families. Some of us have more genetic families than others. I know Ronald's genetic family is back in Uganda, so he's a long way. His genetic family is a long way off. But thankfully, you can still write and phone and perhaps email them. But we all need not only our genetic families, but we need social and we need spiritual families as well, religious families as well. So social and religious networks are very important to giving us stability, to giving us hope, and to giving us comfort in times of need. And I'm so happy that our little church can, from time to time, help give social and religious support to those who are in need. This indeed was the work that Christ did. He taught, He preached, He healed, He encouraged. And then finally, I would say, in your plan for designing your health program, believe in your Creator. Trust in your Creator. He has a design for your life, just as He designed the universe, just as He designed your body. He also has a design for your life. All you need to do is cooperate with Him in your health, planning your health, as well as planning your life. And God has a plan for your life. And He will guide you, and He will lead you, and He will prompt you, and He will open doors, and He will shut doors. And He will prompt you by the Holy Spirit. Do this, don't do that. And of course, the Word itself is a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our pathway. And so, trust that your life is being directed and that your life is being guided by your Creator. And as we come back to John 3:2, let's remember, it is God's pleasure and God's will that we prosper and be in health. And may each of us prosper and be in health is my prayer this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity that we've had to study Your Word, to study the principles of health that can help us enjoy this life and prepare us for the next life. We pray that You will give us strength, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Send the Holy Spirit to rest within each of us in a rich measure. Send our guardian angels to protect us this week. And save us in Your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.